lasers for stun and prepare for warp speed. It's time for the We Got the Geeks movie talk.
All right, everybody. It's me, your friendly neighborhood Jay Stu, and I'm here with the amazing Hunter.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome back, sir.
Yeah, it's been a while, and quite a bit of Spider-Man activity to catch up on.
Yeah, so not quite sure what to call this one. It's, I guess, not quite a comic panel, not quite a movie review show. It's kind of half and half. Haven't seen you in a while, so I wanted to talk to you about how Superior Spider-Man ended and talk a little bit about Amazing Spider-Man 2 as well.
Yeah, big Spider-Man events that just happen to coincide. Peter Parker comes back, and then we get a new Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, they never planned that at all.
Yeah, we totally didn't call that and everything like that. No, it was, I mean, hey, it's great. I mean, it was an ending. It was sure an ending to Superior Spider-Man.
Well, yeah, let's talk about the comics first, because I think the last time we talked about the series, I think Venom was just about to come in.
We had just, I think, been in either part one or Venom had just wrapped up. I think I might have been an issue ahead of you at the time.
Yeah, you were, actually.
So it was Venom. It was leading into the Goblin War.
Yeah.
So we had, like, the last four issues or so of Superior Spider-Man left. And then we knew at the time that Peter Parker was coming back. And it was all sort of the guesswork of, okay, how are they going to do this? How little of his memory is he going to have? Like, and they sure do like getting Peter Parker off the hook for bad stuff his body does.
They do. Now, if you go back and listen to a bunch of shows, we raved about most of the series. Thought it was an original idea.
Yeah.
Was not a fan of the Goblin War, actually.
No, I mean, the ending itself was unfortunately exactly what we thought it was going to be. And for a series that for the entire time had kept us guessing and really thrown us for curveballs, like a couple issues in, he erases Peter from his mind. And you're sitting there for the first six issues going, oh, okay, that's exactly how he's going to come back. And they're like, no, that's totally not it at all. And you're like, oh, okay. All right, you got me hooked. But then they get to the last four issues, and they're like, ah, psych, he was hiding the entire time. So, I don't know. They honestly started it not bad.
Yeah, Osborn found out that Ock was Spidey, and I thought that was awesome, by the way.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I liked is that Peter started going through Doc Ock's memories in the same way that Doc Ock had gone through Peter's. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's really neat, because now not only is he going to have all of his memories, he's going to get all of Doc Ock's as well. And I thought that would be a really interesting way of having him come back, where now he has a lot more understanding of, like, the villains that he's faced. He gets a new perspective on it.
And at that time, I think they established that Peter only had, like 15 or so memories left.
Yeah, there
own.
Was only the memories that Doc Ock had previously accessed. Okay. Anything that Doc Ock had previously looked into was still in Peter's brain.
Okay.
So, and there were, like, the major, it was pretty much, here's our explanation of how he still remembers the major events in his life. Because you figure Doc Ock would have looked at all the big ones. But the thing was, at the end of it, it was, and I had to reread it because it happened in like two pages, but by the end of the whole thing, Doc Ock's like, oh, Peter, you're in my head. Okay, yeah, you were a better Spider-Man than I ever was.
Yeah.
I'm going to delete my brain. Here's your body back.
He gave up way too easy.
Yeah, and it felt like this was, it almost needed one more issue of just letting Doc Ock and Spider-Man resolve it together. Like, let them almost, like, finish the Goblin War together in the head, and then give me one issue where it's Doc Ock going, this is how I lived as you, as an outsider looking into your life, and here's all the things that I saw that you don't probably even realize you're screwing up. And let Peter go, shit, yeah, I think, like, you're right. Because this lets Peter just learn nothing from the experience. He has no memories of his time as the Superior Spider-Man. He's got, like, brief flashes, but for the most part, it's like, oh, I did what? Oops, wow, that's wacky. Now I have to deal with those consequences. And he has, there's no accountability because he can just go to everybody like the Avengers or anybody like that and just go, nope, it was Doc Ock. Sorry, guys. I don't know what he did. Sucks to be you guys who had to deal with that. And I feel like it would have been, and it's funny because usually Peter's usually that more tortured guy. And I feel like if they had made him have to deal with the consequences while remembering it all, I think it would have been much more, like, deep for him, because then he would have known all the crazy things he does. I mean, the latest issue of Amazing Spider-Man, he comes across Electro. Electro's pissed at him for the experimenting that went on during the Marvel team-up. And he's like, nope, oops, I didn't do it. I don't know what you're talking about. But if he actually remembered that and was like, oh, shit, like, I know what, quote-unquote, I did to you, and now I'm dealing with that guilt. And his thing has always been that great power comes great responsibility, where this would be a situation where that power wasn't even his control, but he'd still feel the obligation to take responsibility for it. And
yeah. And it's the same with the Black Cat when she comes back in the next few issues.
He's going to have no idea. I mean,
punched her right in the face.
Oh, yeah. And that was great. That was really dramatic, because there had always been a sort of, seems weird, but a Batman-Catwoman kind of thing going on with Spider-Man and Black Cat. Yeah. Where it's like, oh, I know you're up to no good, but you're really a good guy at heart, so I'm going to let you do your thing. But this lets them change up the dynamic and with them, because she knows a lot about him. So if she's really mad at him, yeah.
Yeah, he's not. He's in trouble.
Yeah. But yeah, no, the ending to Superior Spider-Man I felt was rushed. And
yeah, and some stuff got resolved like way too fast. Like when he saw Mary Jane, yep, it was Ock for the last couple months in my mind. Oh, that's so stupid, it sounds right.
Well, yeah, and that's what everybody seems to be reacting. It's like, oh, you're Spider-Man and you're always on the shit end of things, so we believe you. And like, I mean, it sounds so weird, but in the late, like the issue 2 of Amazing, like he's like, yeah, I showed up with cookies, and they're like, yeah, you wouldn't have done that if you weren't you. And I'm like, really? Oh god. Because I mean, it would have been an interesting way to sever his ties from the Avengers.
Yeah.
And get him back to just being like Peter Parker, right? Because he has to deal with all the consequences of Parker Industries being his reaction to being a doctor, like, don't, please stop calling me oh, I am a doctor.
Yeah.
All right, that's of cybernetics, okay? I have no knowledge of cybernetics. Like, that's fantastic, because I'm glad that they didn't just get rid of that, where it is changing things up for him, and it'll be interesting to see how it goes, but it seems to toss it under the rug right now of a, oops, it wasn't me. I'll clean up this mess, but I have no personal state. Like, there's no personal connection to what happened, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's no, it was his body, but because he doesn't have the memories, there's nothing that makes him feel like he might have done it. So there's no real burden on him to fix this.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I said to you before we started recording, I just finished reading issue 2, and I'm like, oh, okay, so that's how they're going to bankrupt him and get rid of this Parker Industries. Because at the end of the second issue, he says he's going to try and build the next super villain prison. And I'm like, okay, that's not going to end well.
No.
At all. So that's why they won't have any more money. And so, yeah.
I really wish they could have kept the costume.
I get really why they have it to go back. It is very much a rebirth for him to get back to his costume, right? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, you've been sitting there in the Superior one for so long. Like, the easiest way to get him feeling like him again is, they did the same thing with Brand New Day. right after they did the deal with the devil. Because up to then, he had been in the Iron Spider costume. He was in his costume for a brief bit of time in Civil War, but then went immediately into the Black Symbiote costume.
Yep.
For, so when they did the Brand New Day, they're like, oh yeah, it's Brand New Spider-Man. He was back in the original costume. That seems to be their way of saying, oh yeah, everything's back to the status quo. And yeah. I now have to apparently read Guardians of the Galaxy because Venom's off with them.
Yeah, the Avengers thought that they needed an Avenger on the team in space with them, so Venom got elected.
I didn't even know Venom was an Avenger.
A nope. Secret Avenger.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. I mean, the Guardians of the Galaxy are getting all kinds of press. I mean, I read their issues where they crossed over with the X-Men, and Star-Lord got a fun little flirty romance with Kitty Pryde there. So
yep,
they're making sure the Guardians of the Galaxy interact with every possible, like, Marvel franchise right now.
That's right. Well, they had the big Iron Man crossover for a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, which is good for them. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Spider-Man. I hope they don't undo too much of it. I'm really interested to see where this relationship with Anna.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what did you think about that? Like, that kind of sort of resolution.
I liked her for Doc Ock because I felt like it was the other part of him that wanted to make him a good person. It wasn't just Peter's memories that was making him want to be a hero.
Right.
It was all of a sudden there was people in his own life that he was caring for and realized that, yeah, I want to protect them. And it seemed to be the one sort of good guy thing he was still doing by the end of it. Because by the end, I mean, he's got his, like, army of, like, henchmen, and he's got Spider Island 2, and heading very much to supervillain territory, but there was still that relationship. That was still very much good guy for him.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll see how it turns out with her now being a supporting character of Peter's book.
Yeah, and it seems like they're still going to deal with the consequences of kind of that relationship and moving in and her quitting her job. And yeah.
Now, I read that later on in the summer there's actually going to be two more issues of Superior Spider-Man, kind of a lost tale, I guess.
Oh, okay.
By the same writer and artist, though.
So. Yeah, that's fine, but at the same time, it's one of those, like, okay, is it going to add any? Like, I feel like it's going to have to really add something to it because of the fact that he has no memories of it. Like, if it was something, I guess they could do it in such a way where it's like, now all these memories start coming. Oh, like, if he finds a way of accessing all the memories of Ock as Spider-Man.
They mentioned that in Amazing One, and he doesn't want anything to do with that.
Yeah, he should.
Yeah, for sure.
And he may get, and maybe that's the thing. Maybe he gets to a point where he's like, okay, something really bad happened that I don't have any memory of. Because that was the thing, too. Remember when they had the Fantastic Four crossover? Where the time travelers from the future came in and went, you did something horrible. Like, completely horrendous. But we can't interfere.
Did they ever say what that was?
Nope, because it was still really early on in the Superior Spider-Man process. I doubt it was him just becoming more totalitarian. Like, it doesn't seem big enough.
Right.
I mean, maybe it was the Goblin War, but that seems like such a letdown for that kind of, like, to have really early on, to have them go, oh my god, that's Doc Ock in Spider-Man's body, isn't it? Yep. Can we do anything about it? Nope. Wow. Remember that crazy thing he's going to do? Yep. Can we do anything about it? Nope. Okay. So, yeah, looking back at that, that's the only, like, one loose thread that I don't think they really sorted out.
I wonder how, and I hope they show it, I wonder how Peter's going to react when he finds out Spider-Man shot and killed a guy.
Well, this is the thing. I think that's probably why they didn't give him the memories, is because that lets him off the hook.
Right.
For that kind of stuff. It would be too easy for Peter to just get lost in that grief, but I think it would be good for him to have to deal with those consequences and actually have to make amends for it, but...
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it seems too easy. It seems like the reset button was almost literally a, I'm going to press this button, Doc Ock's going to go away, Peter's going to get control of his brain back, with no pomp and circumstance. Like, for the detail that they put into going, Peter's gone from this brain, to have him, Ghost Peter, just pop back up and go, ha-ha, no, I was hiding. Like, it just seems so anticlimactic for what was a really good, like, 30-some-odd issues.
Yeah, definitely. Well, hopefully Amazing will be... You know, I'm glad to see there's consequences, and maybe they'll get a little more into that. And the first two issues have been okay so far.
Yeah, they haven't been bad. They've been what I expected from a Peter Parker's back in his body, and they want to make sure that the contrast of goofy, wacky Peter is back compared to the serious, like, methodical Doc Ock. Yeah, Superior Spider-Man
kind of threw us for a loop that I figured that Jameson would be going back to the Bugle, but he is not happy with that.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll come back. I'm sure what's going to happen is at some point Jameson will buy back the DB, as it's called now. Parker Industries will go under, and forcing Peter back to doing whatever the hell he was doing before. I hope not.
Yeah.
But they seem... The editorial department of Marvel seems way too interested in keeping Peter back in whatever position he was in before. Like, just get him back to start.
Yeah.
So.
And that sucks.
And this is the thing, too. They have already got him signed on a lease with this Anna girl. Oh, I'm kicking you out. Oh, I wonder who you have to move back in with. Aunt May.
Oh, no.
Sorry, I'm calling that one now.
It sounds right.
I hope not, but, man, yeah, I do really hope not. She knows he's Spider-Man now, and she knew he was Doc Ock, so that makes it at least an interesting kind of character where she can help try and fill him in.
Yeah.
So, she was my favorite new character out of anything to come out of Superior.
Oh, yeah, she was great.
I hope she sticks around.
That would be cool. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get into our official review of Amazing Spider-Man 2. So come on back.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Kristen Hunter is a Canadian artist specializing in polymer clay creations. Kristen is a geek at heart, and most of her creations are nerd-themed. She makes everything from Captain America earrings to video game-inspired necklaces and everything else in between. Check out Kristen's amazing work at www.wasabeads.com or visit her Facebook group, Wasabeads Custom Creations.
All right, we're back, and we're going to do our official review of Amazing Spider-Man 2. I'm back with our good friend, the Spectacular Hunter.
Hooray, I'm spectacular.
And joining us now is the sensational, lovely K-Stu.
I am lovely.
So, I know the movie's been out about 3 or 4 weeks, but just to be nice, we'll do the same rules. First half of the review, we'll try to stay non-spoilerish.
Spoiler. Oh, I make no such promise.
Oh, really?
No, that's fine. I can stay spoiler-free.
It was really hard when we reviewed Captain America, because, like, everything was a spoiler in that movie.
Well, it was, right? Like, the funny thing about Captain America was, too, like, I'd seen all the posters for... The funnier thing was, I'd seen all the posters and the advertising for the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. series, where they're like, after Captain America, everything changes. And I'm like, okay, now I can't even watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. until I see Captain America 2. Which is great, because the very next episode I watched of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was the whole Hydra thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, I figured it was happening, but I'm glad I didn't, like... skip ahead, but yeah, we'll stay spoiler free.
Hashtag it's all corrected.
Yeah, definitely. So we'll talk about Amazing Spider-Man 2 then. The second movie with Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone. Almost said Watson. Good thing I didn't.
So you had mentioned in one of your posts a couple of weeks ago, Hunter, that you were really excited that the humor has come back to the character.
Yeah, I mean, that was my big thing, was you look at, because this is the thing, you look back at the old Tobey Maguire one, and specifically the first movie, you get, like, one, like, hey, Gobby, like, some really bad line of him trying, like, it was like somebody who was writing the movie was told, hey, Spider-Man says one-liners, but had never read a Spider-Man comic, so they're like, oh, okay, I gotta try and insert, like, pithy, like, action movie comebacks, like...
emo Spider-Man.
Well, the only one that I thought was actually funny was when, like, the Green Goblin attacked J. Jonah Jameson and, like, Spider-Man webbed up his mouth and went, okay, Mommy and Daddy are talking right now. Like, thought that was funny, but no, the rest of it just seemed so bland. Like, it didn't... This was why I could never picture Tobey Maguire behind the Spider-Man suit.
Right.
Was, or the sad thing was I could picture him, but I hated him behind it, was because I looked at him like, you're just a loser. I don't like you as a person at all. Like, I don't care about what happens to you. So, yeah, he just seemed like, and I even was reading, like, watching a review of, like, a comparison between the old and the new, and they were like, Tobey Maguire really captured the I'm a super lame nerd side of Peter Parker that was in the really, really, really early comics. Andrew Garfield has captured the, like, smarmy, like, back-talking, confident sort of Peter Parker that's been more present in the comics for a longer period of time. And I think that's why I connected with him as Spider-Man more, is because I can look at him and how he acts as Peter Parker, and then look at how Spider-Man's acting and go, yeah, that's the same guy. As opposed to looking at, like, Tobey Maguire all doe-eyed and, like, I love you, Mary Jane! And then seeing Spider-Man try and perform action scenes and going, you're just Pleasantville.
Like, Pleasantville. That's where I knew him from.
Or what's the horse movie?
Seabiscuit.
Seabiscuit, yeah. Like,
Cider
House the amazing Seabiscuit. Like, spectacular Seabiscuit.
Now, I want to ask you this. I've gone on record many times before Amazing Spider-Man 1 came out. Like, I went on record as saying it was a terrible idea. They shouldn't be doing it. Why reboot him at this point? And I ate my words, because I really enjoyed the first one.
Oh, yeah. I think the reason they had to do a new one so soon is the same reason they had to do Batman Begins within so many years of Batman and Robin coming out. Because if you don't, the last public memory is of that last movie.
Yeah.
So you need to do something to get it back out and, like, almost rebuy your audience. Because, I mean, Batman Forever was not great, but it was still a commercial success, right?
Yeah.
So you can bank off of that success because you had enough goodwill, but you killed it all with Batman and Robin. So you need to buy that audience back with Batman Begins. Well, the same thing. Spider-Man 2, the Sam Raimi one, was really well received. And it is still the best of the three.
Oh, yeah.
I still feel like it has its problems, mostly related to the only people Peter Parker seems to need to save in that three-movie series are people he knows specifically.
And he loses his mask a million times in that one.
And it always seems... I think the running tally on the number of times Mary Jane needs to be saved in that trilogy is, like, 12 times.
Okay.
Like, it's just so ridiculous. Like, that seems to be the only story thread. Like, that's who needs to be rescued every single time. It doesn't matter who the villain is. It doesn't matter what the situation is. Mary Jane needs to be rescued.
That's true.
And that's a terrible female role model, first off.
Yeah.
But two, it makes for really boring movies if that's the only thing you're watching. it's the first movie. Mary Jane's at the bridge, and Spider-Man has to protect both her and the fallen car of children. The second movie, we've got the exploding sun fusion reactor. Well, Mary Jane has to be saved from a falling warehouse building.
Mm-hmm.
The third movie, Mary Jane's been kidnapped by Venom. She's dangling from a car. Oh, she needs to be rescued. Like, that's not interesting for climaxes of movies over and over again. Like, it really does seem like when you look at Spider-Man 2 and Spider-Man 3, oh, we're going to break up because I don't know if I can be Spider-Man and love you. But by the end of the movie, oh, I saved you from bad guys that were going to attack you anyway. Hey, we can be together. And that's Spider-Man 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, with Amazing Spider-Man, like, they really did a good job of capturing the feel of Spider-Man as he was in the comics. Like, I mean, like, just the opening car chase scene of Amazing Spider-Man 2, where you've got him, like, making comments at the armored truck robbers, or you've got him on the front of the car talking to Gwen on the phone,
yeah.
Like, as he's trying, like, are those sirens? No, I'll be there in 5 minutes.
And that's totally stuff that happens.
And that is, like, that's yeah. What happens to Spider-Man. Like, he'll be trying to do something, and he'll go be Spider-Man, and it'll get in the way of his personal life. I mean, when you protract it over 40 years of comics, it gets boring, but over the course of a couple of movies, it's great. But that is Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like, and then you get into situations where Gwen Stacy doesn't really, like, in the first one specifically, too, like, Gwen Stacy didn't really need to be saved. She happened to be in the building where the bad stuff was going on.
Mm-hmm.
But really, when Spider-Man showed up, she had the common sense to have already walked out the front door. Like, she hid from the lizard, blasted him in the face with some fire when she needed to run. And by the time Spider-Man was there, like, she's not in the building anymore. She, like, her dad has sort of pulled her out of the building and is like, I'm going to go help Spider-Man in your place. Like, and then the second movie, I mean, we'll get into that when we get to the spoiler section of
yeah.
it. But, I mean,
yeah.
She was still a person as opposed to, please rescue my sandwich, like, from being eaten by the bad guy. But, yeah, no, Spider-Man, like, making jokes and actually, like, having fun with being Spider-Man, like, that's very much Peter Parker. I love the interactions between him and Aunt May in this.
Yeah.
Of the, like, oh, like, the last time you did your own laundry, everything came out red and blue, or, like, him curled up in bed, like, why are you dirty? Oh, I was cleaning the chimney. We don't have a chimney. What?
My favorite line.
That was awesome.
That was, yeah.
That was great.
Tobey Maguire, my favorite line was, you're not Superman, you know. This one is, what?
It's the look on his face. You're like, oh my god, it was great. And I think part of it was, too, is it, they kept him as, like, high school age for both movies, right?
Because
he was high school age in the first Sam Raimi Spider-Man, but then he's in college in the second one.
Well, he was, I think by the end of the second movie, he was in, out of high school. He graduated mid-first movie.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, oh, yeah, because he and Harry, like, graduate together. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. I totally forgot about that. But, yeah. So, I mean, so just as a Spider-Man, Andrew Garfield is just way better than Peter Parker. I mean, or Tobey Maguire. And then you get, I feel like Gwen Stacy, they just did a better job of fleshing her out as a person in his life, as opposed to Mary Jane just being prop person who also knows he's Spider-Man. Villains is where I think it gets interesting. I mean, Doc Ock was, like, Alfred Molina did a really good job. And to a point, to Sandman from the third one was well done. Completely unnecessary, but still well done. Like, you felt for him of what he was trying to do.
But what are your thoughts on Electro in this one?
Electro, I think I sort of, I can understand some of the sentiment for people where they're like, he was really rushed. Where he was, oh, I got saved by Spider-Man. Now I really like Spider-Man. And, oh, somebody shot me while I was talking to Spider-Man. I hate Spider-Man. I'm going to kill Spider-Man. Like, that seemed really fast. But I feel like it was almost like, it almost fit with his character of being so all over the place and never having people to connect to, that the first person that ever knew his name and said, like, hey, I'm your buddy. I can totally picture people that would do that. I can picture geeks that if they met even, like, their idol, like their TV idol or something like that, and they met their TV idol, and their TV idol signed them a photograph that said, to my best pal, Jay Stu, love Richard Dean Anderson. I could picture a hypothetical, quote-unquote, Jay Stu that takes that and goes, oh my God, Richard Dean Anderson and I are best friends.
Me and MacGyver.
Yeah, exactly. And I could see that if that illusion is shattered, of what kind of reaction somebody would have to that. To be there with Spider-Man and go like, oh my God. And to him too, like the other part of it was, he was a nobody. Nobody paid attention to him. Nobody liked him. And he finally saw himself in Times Square. He's seeing himself on all these monitors. He feels like, I'm somebody now that people have to pay attention to. And then Spider-Man shows up in every single one of those TVs. Switches to Spider-Man. You see the look on his face as you see him reacting now to somebody who's always been a nobody get pushed to the side, but has the power to do something about it now. So, I don't know. I felt like that as a character was really something that you could mesh up with. The Harry Osborn stuff.
Yeah, what'd you think about that? Creepy kid playing him, by the way.
Creepy kid. I felt like the Green Goblin makeup and the look of him in this, much better than the William Dafoe version. And much, 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 much better than our Spider-Man 3, James Franco.
Oh, the new Goblin, as they call him. Goblin. Yeah.
Which I felt like they totally missed the ball to do, like, a Hobgoblin or something like that. Like, anyways. Again, rushed, because you get, like, the Norman Osborn is dying to, like, massive disease. And he's like, oh, I've been fighting this my entire life. And then all of a sudden, in, like, the span of a week, it seems like Harry's dying of it. So, yeah. That seemed really odd. And I won't lie, that part seemed rushed to me. It felt like they felt like they needed to shoehorn Green Goblin in to both do the ending that they wanted and to set up what I'm going to imagine is Sinister Six.
I think I would have been a lot better with maybe he got that serum and then becomes the Goblin. Maybe in an after-credit scene, and then 3 would have been about the Goblin.
You know what I would have even bought is if he was the Goblin, and he didn't get it. We're getting a little bit into spoiler territory here, but just his ending, where there's sort of a definitive, there's more or less a definitive ending to his fight with Spider-Man. I wonder if they left that more open-ended. And just let him still be out on the loose for the beginning of Spider-Man 3. Where he's like, man, I can't beat this guy on my own. But it's a good thing in that R&D, I got a bunch of other equipment. Like, I can't beat him on my own. I apparently can't beat him with one other guy. But I bet you I can do it with this many. And I think that would have been a neat way of doing it without feeling like they had to rush through the Green Goblin Spider-Man fight at the end, which was really good. I'm glad they didn't try and bring it back to, like, the bridge or anything.
Yeah.
The clock tower there was really interesting. I felt like it was a really neat location.
Cool. All right, hold that thought. We're going to take another break. When we come back, anything goes at spoiler territory
And we'll actually hear K-Stu's thoughts as well a little
Dennis
bit.
Dennis Leary was dead the whole time?
All right, we'll be right back.
Stay tuned, loyal listeners. There's more We Got the Geek still to come.
Mostly Comics has been serving the Niagara region for over 30 years. The store sells a variety of comics and entertainment-related products, including graphic novels, toys, and collectibles. Mostly also purchases rare comics upon appraisal. Visit Kim and the Gang at 413 St. Paul Street in St. Catharines, or check out their website at www.mostlycomics.com.
All right, welcome back to our Spider-Man extravaganza. I'm here with the Superior Hunter.
Nice.
And
the team up with K-Stu?
The web of K-Stu.
The web of K-Stu, I like it.
Anyhow, hey K-Stu. You're still lovely.
Well, you can't really be like the only other ones we've got are like Peter Parker K-Stu and like...
I'm lovely.
There was no lovely Spider-Man comic.
There should be.
There was Mary Jane Loves Spider-Man.
There was. There was.
So K-Stu loves Spider-Man? Or hearts, if you will?
Or hearts.
Or Ultimate K-Stu?
Ultimate K-Stu, there we go.
Ultimate K-Stu, or like...
Ultimate K-Stu team-up.
Or now somewhat Latino K-Stu.
I was going to say, what nationality should I be if I'm the Ultimate K-Stu?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about the new guy. Anyhow.
K-Stutaros!
We're talking Amazing Spider-Man 2 here.
When Stacy died. There, I got it out right there, right off the bat.
And I was telling you before the show that a week before I saw that, some idiot on the bus loudly spoiled that.
Well, the funny thing was, I was positive it was going to happen. Because they had shown pictures of her in costume.
In that outfit.
In that outfit. And everybody's like, that is the same outfit she wore when she died. What do you think is going to happen? Like... That's like taking your parents down an alley called Crime Alley. Like, what do you think is going to happen?
Now, I'm glad they had the guts to do it. I feel like they should have waited.
I didn't think they were going to.
I feel like they should have waited.
No, I don't. I think that was the perfect time to do it.
Oh, yeah?
I think it was great. There was nothing else to get out of that relationship, I feel like.
Right.
And rather than draw it out, because they basically said, here's the thing. We have finally given somebody to Peter Parker... That is not just going to... We've given a female character to this guy who's not going to revolve her life around him. She's willing to go off on her own and do her own thing. And he was willing to go with her. And you rarely ever see that.
Yeah.
So for them to have the balls and go, you know what? They had a bit of a conflict with the, like, him breaking a promise to her dad. I like that there are consequences to him breaking his promise to her dad to keep her out of it.
Pure Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Like, the Parker luck, if you will.
I noticed they aged up her brothers in this.
I did not notice.
They aged up her one brother. And the thing is, in the comics, her brother comes back and goes, yeah, I'm pretty sure... Spider-Man's the reason my dad and sister are dead, and creates sort of an antagonistic relationship.
Okay.
So I wonder if that's where they're going to kind of go with it, to have her brother come in and be...
One of the Sinister Six?
I don't know if they'll do it as one of the Sinister Six. I wonder if it'll be like the personal conflict to match the sort of Spider-Man. Because usually in these kind of stories you get like, here's... The conflict for your character as a person to match. Here's the conflict for your character as the superhero. It's usually the formula that you come down to. I mean, you get, like, Iron Man 2. You have his personal conflict of him drinking and, like, partying to match the conflict of him and Whiplash. So, I mean... I could see that if that's where they wanted to go with it, of whether or not that's why they did that. But I honestly thought her eyes were going to open. Like, they drew that out just long enough where you're like, oh, oh my God, she's dead. Like, I had my hands over my mouth in the movie theater. I'm like, God, she's dead. And then he's got her head in his hands going like, wake up, wake up, wake up. And I'm like, okay, this has gone on too long. Like, they've lingered on this. Her eyes are going to open. And then the blood comes out her nose. And I'm like, oh, my God! So, kudos to them. I didn't think they were going to do it. That crack off the ground. I'm like, wow. I guess they didn't want to explain the neck snapping from the... I mean, well, because that was the thing in the comics, right? Like, he catches her before she hits the ground, but because of the force that he's stopping, her neck snaps.
Yeah.
But this, nope. Whip that head right off the ground. Oh.
Okay, Sue, so what did you think about the death of Gwen Stacy?
When that scene happened, I was like, she did not just bounce off the ground.
Oh, like Kushball.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my god, like, I think that was even more violent than just her neck snapping.
Well, because like, that's...
Bam!
Well, that's the thing, too. Like, a lot of that, too, in movies, like... If a guy gets beaten up, like, you'll see it. Like, you'll see a guy get shot. You'll see him get stabbed. You'll see him get, like,
shanked.
Beaten to a pulp.
Yeah.
If it's happening to a female character, you either see it in silhouette or you see the after effects. Like, you'll see the gunshot, then they'll cut over to the girl, like, holding an already bloody wound.
Yeah.
Like, they rarely actually show... the physical trauma happening to that character.
Yeah.
And this, they did it. And I think that's what part of what makes it so shocking and so real is you saw it happen.
Yeah. So, like, we saw it at the drive-in, so, like, details and stuff, not as clear as in the theater. But so I was like, that did not just happen. And I'm like, wow. So
I'm going to go out on a limb. It's your own damn fault. That entire climax, she's like, oh my god, you need me to reset this power, like, this power station. I'm the only one that knows how to do it. She walked into that office and pulled a switch. I'm sorry, there's no way you could even just write Spider-Man a little memo with a picture that says, pull this. There you go. Problem solved. Gwen Stacy's alive and happy.
Google a picture of the switch connected to him.
Yeah.
Like, in the other direction.
He's got a phone on him, clearly.
Clearly. So, I'm sorry. You got up your own butt about trying to help Spider-Man out and how much he needed you, and that totally got you. I love that it took, like, Harry, like, 2 seconds to go, Gwen Stacy, Spider-Man, you're Peter Parker. Yeah. I swear that entire movie was just conversations with people where the subtext was, I know you're Spider-Man. Like, I'm pretty sure every scene between Sally Field and Andrew Garfield is just her trying to find every way of saying, I know you're Spider-Man.
Without using those specific
words. Without using those words.
They don't have a chimney.
Though, to be fair, it wasn't as bad as, like, the Sam Raimi one, where, like, Aunt May's like... We haven't seen Spider-Man around a lot anymore.
Yeah.
I think we need a Spider-Man. What do you think, Peter? Like, that just seems so... Like, if she had just come out and said, you're an idiot, go be Spider-Man again. Like...
Yeah.
And boy, can Sally Field cry.
I love Sally Field.
I think she makes a great Aunt May.
She does make a good Aunt May, because I think it matches more to the age that they were trying to do to the character. She makes more sense as the Aunt May of a high school-aged Spider-Man, as opposed to high school-aged Spider-Man with 97-year-old
Aunt May.
Aunt May, like, I can believe Aunt May is working two jobs while trying to put herself through nursing school.
Yeah.
I can only imagine that Aunt May and the Sam Raimi ones is living off her pension or her, like, bingo winnings. Like, sorry. I'm happy that they didn't try and recast J. Jonah Jameson.
They mentioned him, at least.
He mentioned, and you get, like, an email back from him, which is so J. Jonah Jameson. Like, I think Spider-Man's a good guy. Wrong. I'm like, that's perfect. That's all I needed to see of JJ. Because I love J.K. Simmons. He was my favorite part of the original Spider-Man series.
Oh, he was fantastic.
Like, he is J. Jonah Jameson. So, like, he's the only person that I've said if they have to bring the character for real in the movie, please just bring J.K. Simmons back. Because he was just too good. He enjoyed that character too much. But yeah. So
You want to see him in anything else, I just wait for him to scream Parker. Wait.
He's the voice of him on the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon, too.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, and even watching, like, the old Spider-Man animated show, I'm like, this guy's doing a bad J.K. Simmons impression. Yeah. And then you have to remember, oh, wait, this came out before.
It was Ed Asner, I think.
He did a really good job, too, though. Like, I mean, like, he was a really good J. Jonah Jameson as well. Because you got some moments on that show where it wasn't just, I'm crotchety newspaper person. Like, they actually tried to flesh out his character. Because you had more time in a series like that. But I'm glad that I enjoyed that little J. Jonah Jameson cameo. The Stan Lee cameo bugged me, though. I don't know why. It was just him in the crowd going, I think I know that guy.
Yeah.
That seemed off.
After all the awesome Stan Lee cameos lately.
Because including the one in the first Amazing Spider-Man was my favorite, hands down, Spider-Man, like, Stan Lee cameo. Is him just, and you hear the classical music that he's listening to as the librarian while Spider-Man fights the lizard in the background. Wonderful cameo.
Okay, maybe you can explain something to me, because I haven't really done the research on this, and I know I'm slacking. Why was the end credits scene a preview for X-Men?
I have absolutely no idea. I think it's
two different movie studios, for one.
Yeah. I have no idea. I wonder if they didn't feel like they needed one. Like, because if I remember correctly, well, the Amazing Spider-Man 1 had one.
Yeah, the mysterious guy in the hat.
It was Norman Osborn.
Yeah.
Well, let's be clear, because I'm pretty sure it was actually Chris Cooper at the time doing it. Which is funny, now thinking back to it, I just realized that Chris Cooper has a line in the trailers for Amazing Spider-Man 2 that never came up in the movie. There's a line in the trailers where it's Chris Cooper saying, "We have big plans for you, Mr. Parker."
Yeah.
Never happened in the movie. I just realized that.
Okay, it kind of bugged me that the spiders were genetically altered to have his dad's DNA.
But that was people's biggest problem with the first one, is you have, like, 40 bajillion spiders. None of them has ever bit anybody and gave them superpowers. It was a really good way of explaining why only Peter could have gotten those powers in the way that he did.
All right.
That was... I bought that. Because I had heard all the complaints after the first one of, like, oh my god, there were all these spiders, why didn't they ever give anybody superpowers? What bugged me is the, like, Fifth Avenue train station Batcave.
Oh yeah.
Like, I have a super decked out subway car.
Why doesn't his dad hang out there instead of fleeing in an airplane?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and, like, all right, I'm going to hide these tokens and this obscure clue and the calculator in the hopes that my son one day gets so angry he throws it against the wall and finds all the tokens. Like, I know he was working for Oscorp at the time, but how do you get funding for that? Like, hey, guys.
Shield.
I want to, yeah. It's the only thing I can think of.
He had the dad had ties to Shield in the comics, but obviously they can't show that.
Yeah, but the only thing I could think, the only thing I could think of is he's just, like, he's just falsifying requisition forms at work. Like, I need $20,000 for pens and contractors to go to this undescript location that I'm not telling anybody about in this memo.
To hide my pens.
Yeah, to store my pens. I have an off-site storage facility I would like to keep these at. No, you can't know where it is. Like, because somebody had to build that. It was a subway platform. Like, if it was just an abandoned subway car that he walked up to and say the only way to get into it was to put a token into the turnstile and that's the only way it would sort of open up and let you through.
Right.
I would have bought that. But the fact that you put in this token and the floor opens up and this subway car lifts out... I'm like, no. No, you lost me there. And wow, is Peter Parker in these movies really good at finding the exact video clip being preloaded on people's computers that he needs to fix the problem of the day. Like in the first one, the Lizard had completely monologued into his cam and then just left the video up so that Spider-Man could walk in and go, oh, gotcha. And in this one, like, his dad had sent the video to himself of, like, here's the entire backstory that nobody except my son will ever actually need.
Exactly. Well, let's take one last break. When we come back, we'll sum up the movie, maybe give the ratings we think it deserves. And we'll be right back with Hunter and Case 2.
Hold on, true believers. There's more We Got the Geek after these words.
Face front, true believers. John Ballmer is an independent artist and illustrator. He has contributed to several indie comics published by Alterna Comics and more, and is able to draw in many styles and genres. John also does commission work in sizes ranging from 3 by 5 inches to 11 by 17 inches and even larger. Add some original art to your personal collection or surprise someone with a drawing just for them. Check out his work at drawnbyjohn.com and his Facebook group, Drawn by John, The Art of John J.C. Ballmer.
And we're back. Sitting here with Hunter and Case 2 talking Spider-Man.
Yep.
We haven't even touched upon this. I know they didn't show him very much, but what did you think of the Rhino?
I really liked him as ways of bookending the movie. I feel like a lot of people are like, oh, he's... doesn't do anything and he just adds a third villain to the movie, but I'm like, no, he's not there to be a main villain of the movie. I think what he's there to be is to show you the kind of crime that Spider-Man's fighting at the beginning of that movie, and at the end of the movie show you where the kind of crime he's fighting at the end and why he's so needed. Because you show, like, I mean, like, the beginning of the movie, you have fun, he's fighting guys stealing an armored car, and the cops are chasing him down. But you get to the end of the movie, and he's in that Rhino suit, and he's just dominating the police officers in a way that you're like, no, this is a kind of crime that if Spider-Man wasn't here, nobody is stopping. Whereas the beginning, the cops are chasing them, like, they're probably going to catch these guys by the end. Spider-Man's just helping out. He's going to get it done faster. But by the end, you're like, no, this is the kind of stuff that only Spider-Man can solve. And that's the journey. That's what you're showing for this escalation. It's almost like in Batman The Dark Knight, where in Batman Begins, really all he's fighting is, like, street thugs and a guy wearing a scarecrow mask. Like...
Mm-hmm.
But by the end... But in Dark Knight, like, it's Joker that goes, like... I'm going to bring a different quality of villain to this. And that's what I feel like happens when you get this, is you have to show the kind of villain that needs that superhero. And I will admit, that scene with the little kid running out there as the Spider-Man in the Spider-Man outfit and the real Spidey coming along, I thought that was awesome.
Like, it was, that was, yeah.
As in the first Amazing Spider-Man... they had that moment with the cranes, and I'm like, that is really cool. I felt like these movies have been really good at showing everyday people stepping up to be heroic. And showing that, like, there are moments where everyday people can be heroic, they don't need to be superheroes. And you get the crane operators in the first one that are like, I can help in this situation, and here's how. And you get a little bit of that in the second one with the traffic controllers. When all the power goes down, it's not... they're able to save the day because Spider-Man gets the power back up, but at the same time, you look at that scene and go, I see competent people at their jobs, where the power goes out, and there's just a couple sentences of like, okay, everybody write down exactly what you remember, and it's them figuring out, we've got two planes on a crash course. It's extra tension, and maybe it wasn't needed, but at the same time, like, it shows you... real people that actually solve that problem, like, that know that there's a problem and manage to fix it. Like, as opposed to other superhero movies I've seen where a situation would, like, come back up like that, and people like that would, like, run around with their heads cut off, knowing absolutely nothing of what to do, until the superhero saves the day. Like, if that was a Superman movie, those traffic controllers would have nothing to do with it because Superman would just go up, move the planes out of the way, and then they'd be gone. But this is showing that real people do big heroic things like that in those situations, and I really appreciated that.
Definitely. Now, Case Stu, you have ties to that chase scene at the beginning of the movie. You want to explain why?
Is this the one that was filmed in...
In Rochester. Oh. Yeah.
And not just that.
My cousin's in one of the cabs.
Wow. So down they know they were going to be in the movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he put it on his Facebook, like, all of my friends in Rochester, like, Facebook lit up, like, they were either, yay, Spider-Man is filming here, which Spider-Man and Mary Jane weren't even, or Gwen weren't even, like, in Rochester.
Oh, God, no, of course not.
But it was like, Spider-Man's filming here, or it was, why the F is Spider-Man filming here? It's ruining my life, and traffic is horrible, right? And it's funny because the press for Spider-Man says it's all filmed in New York. So everybody's thinking New York City. They didn't lie. Rochester is in New York State.
It's true.
But it just makes me giggle every time I see it. It's like, we filmed all of it in New York. State. Say the word state. Somebody.
No.
But while I was watching it, I was like, I thought he was in a police car. So I'd actually, like, put it on my Twitter or on my Facebook or something, and I'm like, Cousin Joe, aren't you in one of these police cars? He's like, I'm in one of the cabs. And he sends me a screen cap of the three cabs.
That's awesome.
So I'm like, that is great. But so through the whole chase scene, I'm not even paying attention to plot, quote unquote. I'm watching buildings. Well, no, I'm watching buildings. Oh. And I'm like, I used to work there, and we used to walk across that bridge over there to go to lunch. And I'm like, watching my hometown. Kind of funny. I like downtown Rochester. It's cute. It makes a cute little New York City. New York City Junior.
Nice. Central Park is just one tree in Rochester, like...
Pretty much.
That's cool. I feel like they finally got Spider-Man's movie costume right, too, after four tries.
Yeah, like, it's not the same as the comic books, but it's really well done. Like, it looks like a costume that would be... somebody would wear in that situation. As opposed to the thing that decided it was going to tear apart and fall to pieces whenever a stiff breeze blew by Tobey Maguire.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. I really don't like the Tobey Maguire. I can't watch the Tobey Maguire ones anymore.
I just remembered the picture you had sent me once of Tobey Maguire crying, and the caption was, I'm amazing too.
No, you're not.
Oh, it was the poster for Amazing Spider-Man was behind him, and then he's, like, standing in the foreground crying, I'm amazing, too.
Nope, not even close.
And then there was the other one about, why can't I be in the Avengers? Or something.
I saw an interview with Hugh Jackman where he wants to be in the Avengers. He wants to do one of the Avengers movies.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
And there's no way in hell it's happening, no, but no. It'd be really cool.
There was a cartoon that was, like... a kid trapped somewhere, and it was like, Avengers, help me. And the Avengers were busy, and they were like, Spider-Man. And he's like, nope, not an Avenger.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, I mean, overall, Amazing Spider-Man, really good. I mean, to tie it back to the comics, you knew that was when they were going to bring Peter Parker back, because you get all the kind of, like, goodwill that a Spider-Man movie gains, and the easiest way to translate that into readers is to have a Spider-Man issue number one.
Yep. And Electro just coincidentally came back too.
See, the funny thing was, though, like, it was a lot like that X-Men number one with all the female X-Men, where I felt like they were picking up in the middle of a story, and that the number one was really just there as a, here we want to sell some issues. Where there was so much stuff that had already happened that the audience needs to know about, that it's a terrible number one. Especially for this, like, coming off of the Superior Spider-Man, like, everything happening in this comic right now is tied to the past year of Spider-Man comics.
Yeah.
You can't really get new readers into that because they're coming in, like, can you imagine, like, being a kid... say, like, 10, 12-year-old boy or girl that goes to the movies and, like, oh, my God, I love Spider-Man. I want to read these comics. And goes in, and the first couple of pages, they're like, Doc Ock's not Spider-Man. Stop saying that. Like, and like, oh, that's not Gwen Stacy or Mary Jane. That's an Asian midget, like, or little person. I'm sorry. This always comes back to me on this show, and some comments about little people that ends up going way out of proportion.
You can send an email to hunter@wegotthegeek.com.
I have my own email now?
You now.
You do.
I'm not fielding these.
But yeah, no, I just feel like that's sort of a... I know why you make a number one, but the number one you made isn't really... We're going to resonate with the new... viewers.
Yeah, true.
Or the new readers, I mean. So I can feel bad in that kind of way, because I want the readership of Spider-Man comics to go up. And it's not even like when I got into the Spider-Man comic, like when I started collecting comics, you come in the middle of stories, or you come in and stuff has happened that you don't know about. But if you're really getting into it, you go back, you buy back issues and try and catch yourself up. And when I got X-Men, like, I was able to get maybe, like, a couple issues previous and go, oh, okay, like, there's still maybe a couple things I don't know, but I've got more or less the gist of it. I feel like with this, you'd have to go back, like, a year to get caught up.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just not reasonable for the average, like, comic book reader. So.
That is true.
Superior Spider-Man, the ending, kind of disappointing. The beginning of Amazing Spider-Man... All right, feels consequence right now. Like, there are repercussions, but they don't seem as real or as heavy, to borrow an 80s Back to the Future reference. Yeah. And then Amazing Spider-Man 2 was great. I loved it.
All right, so my official review of Amazing Spider-Man 2, and I'd written this before I heard your comments about Tobey Maguire. But I'm giving it 4 out of 5 crying Tobey Maguire.
Oh my god, that's awesome. Yeah, I will give it to... let's go with 4 dead Stacys out of 5.
Oh.
No, it's 4 Sinister Six villains to be revealed of 5.
Nice. Okay, Stu?
I gave it 3 NYPD police cars in downtown Rochester, New York out of 5.
Cool. And by the way, I stayed away from spoilers, so I thought it was cool that Dennis Leary did a cameo.
Yeah.
I had seen him do an interview on The Daily Show where he had a movie coming out with him as like a football coach, but at the end of the interview he's like, oh, and Spider-Man 2 is coming out. And I'm like, you died in Spider-Man 1. How are you coming back? And then I'm like, oh, you see the movie. And I'm like, oh, you're Bruce Willis in Sixth Sense. Okay, got it.
He was dead the whole time.
I see dead Captain Stacy's.
Which is good, because, I mean, that's the kind of thing that you would expect from a comic to show, like, the ghosts of the failure. Like, I guess Martin Sheen didn't want to come back. Dennis Leary, like, oh, I have no idea. I think it would have been interesting to see Martin Sheen's ghost sort of hanging around
soon. Come back to finally say with great response.
Oh, he's never said it.
But that's because it was so hammered into your head from the Sam Raimi one that it became a joke. So for this one, they just play around with the line so that you get what they're saying without having to make it the cliche. And I thought that was good.
Do you remember crazy Willem Dafoe in the mirror from the later Spider-Man movie?
Oh, yeah, Gollum.
With his talking chair?
Yes, yes.
And then crazy Willem Dafoe talking to James Franco, crazy James Franco, because apparently crazy Willem Dafoe in your head is inherited genetically.
I like that the talking chair had an action figure.
It did, actually, yeah. With the mask on it.
Yeah.
And J. Jonah Jameson with a desk.
With pounding desk action.
Yes.
He just pressed the button on his back. Get me pictures of Spider-Man!
Parker. All right, guys. Well, that's the official word on Amazing Spider-Man 2. It's still in theaters, so go check it out.
Or
and
no.
I guess the next big
the
one...
The ending? You will never guess what happens at the end.
Well, we spoiled it, so... All right, guys. Thanks again for coming out, Hunter. We appreciate it.
Oh, it was great being here.
And I guess next we'll be talking X-Men, maybe.
Yes! Oh, my God, yes.
All right. So on behalf of K-Stu and Hunter, have a great night.
Thanks for listening. To hear more We Got the Geek, check us out at www.wegotthegeek.com and on iTunes.